cliffcentral.com. 360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Debo Homafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. It is a beautiful Wednesday. You know, this is a show that brings you all things business. We bring you legislators. We bring you decision makers. We're bringing you industry champions. We bring you all kind of people that are movers and shakers in their own right. I'm excited that today I'm bringing you a friend of mine that I've been actually seen in a while. That's the first time I saw this guy. Hey, let me tell you, he was dressed up for days, man, you know. And I remember that he traumatized me. Remember, I always like make fun of him. And so the first thing that he said that I remember, but I don't want to embarrass him and say it here on here on air. But I know this is a man that definitely takes highly what he does, and mainly the quality of his work. I know his work. I've had the opportunity of hearing him speak. I'm actually excited to be having him today, looking all fly. This man, my man, I'm here to see you like me sometimes. You know I love my suits and all that. I try by all means to be 80% of the time in them. But, you know, I try at least. Like, you see, today I'm wearing T-shirts and all that. But the next time I feel bad, you come looking like that. You should have told me when I was moving from home so that I come looking all stylish and all. But you'll get an opportunity to hear this man speak. He's got a voice definitely for it. I don't know if he's got a face for radio, though. I know that I've got both. That is indeed a friend of mine, and I've got an amazing lady that we have. She's actually a colleague of mine. She's a friend. She's just somebody that I admire. I love her, I think, more than anything. Her thought patterns. You know, there's people that just think, and there's people that just talk. I know definitely she's a thinker. You know, I was fascinated when I met her about how she carries herself. And her level of thinking, you know, the other people that are strategists, you know, for me, sometimes you look at a person, you're thinking, I know, would she be able to achieve what we want? The next thing you see her in action doing her work, you'll get an opportunity to say hi to the lady as well. I've got amazing young people in studio that we've actually taken up in terms of a development program. You've got to have an opportunity to actually hear them out. I don't know where's Bulelani. Yeah, maybe he still is on his way. You know, business people, they don't become late, they become delayed. But at the end of the day, it is a show done by businessmen at the end of the day for the community and the development of entrepreneurship. I still am Debo Homafodi. If you want to join in on the discussion, we're still on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at cliffcentral.com. If you want to follow us on Instagram as well, it's at cliffcentral.com. Same goes for Facebook. The hashtag of the show, it's hashtag 360biz. We've got a hashtag 360biz on Twitter and on Instagram as well. And if you want to follow that as well, it's at 360biz as well. I'm sure we're going to be putting up pictures on Instagram so that you see the amazing people that you have. I feel underdressed, Shani. I think you must get my jacket in the car. I've got a shirt there, and you know, I definitely change and look at them at the end of the day. Today, our discussion, we talk about the importance of organizational development for SMEs. You know, developing SMEs and individuals, it is definitely something that I'm passionate about. Developing managers from early on in their careers can increase performance within companies or within a workplace, and it can strengthen organization and improve their competitive edge. The pipeline starts with identifying, then nurturing talent by exposing high potential individuals to a variety of development opportunities and experiences. And their economy may, I mean, at the end of the day, improve and grow by those individuals. That's why today we're joined in studio by Mr. Frederick Mamabolo and Ms. Mbali Masego. Let me take this opportunity to actually welcome them to studio. And actually thank you, lady and a gent, for joining today. Do you want to perhaps take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do. Where are we starting, Mababolo? Ladies first? Okay, let's start with a beautiful lady, by the way.
Ladies first.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm surrounded by gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Hello to everybody who's listening. And thank you once again, Debo, for the opportunity to participate in this dialogue. I think it's a very important and significant dialogue, which I think is probably not had necessarily enough. And I think it's a dialogue that you can't stop having enough of, because it's very significant. Maybe just to share a little bit about myself, who I am, where I come from, and some of what interests me. Mm-hmm. This is a topic that interests me very much so. My background is in learning and development. I currently head up learning for one of our financial services institutions that are JSE listed. And I form part of the organizational development team within the organization too, where learning and development and growth is really a core component and a core value of the organization, around how do we continue to ensure that the people that we employ within the organization had the opportunity to grow and to perform at their optimal through platforms or programs or learning opportunities that we provide. So it really is a topic that is very close to my heart, just in terms of qualification-wise. I don't know if that's something that you want me to elaborate on, but I suppose just my background is around industrial and organizational psychology.
Oh, okay.
I am also a qualified business coach, and I believe that coaching is one such mechanism that adds a lot of value from a development standpoint. And so my interest is in facilitation and consulting, and developing and designing and implementing learning programs, initiatives and opportunities for individuals, teams and organizations.
Okay, Mbali, maybe let's take it. Look at Frederick. He's smiling a lot.
Let's slow down. Sorry, you see.
No. You're doing well. I just want to. Take you back a bit.
Okay.
You said you're heading, a division, a learning division,
yes,
for a JSE listed financial institution.
Yes.
So right now, JSE has got there's a report that was released. It says there's 1% of women that are sitting in ownership or in management of JSE listed companies.
Yes.
So for you to be heading the learning aspect of that, okay, guys, you know what? Maybe, unfortunately, you guys don't seem bad. Maybe you'll see it are you tagging? Are you posting already? So, you know, so for me, it's as if you started working last of last year, or whatsoever. I don't know whether is it good genes or is it, how old are you?
I'm 29.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So how long have you been in this space?
So in the learning space, I've been in the learning space for about 7 years now.
Okay.
And in the role specifically, I took up the role from July last year. I'm still relatively young.
Oh, you've not made it yet. No, congratulations. You're not a year old, so you're still, it's still a new thing. Let me take this opportunity to welcome Dadema. Guys, you must hear this man speak. Okay, my man, just as long as you're not going to take my job, you can say hi to our listeners, tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
Thank you, Dadema, for inviting me. It's always an honor to be in your presence. You know that, right?
Yeah, no. You must put the headphones and hear yourself. Did you hear that voice? Did you hear that, you know?
Well, you disappeared on me the last time. So, but otherwise, thank you very much for inviting me. It's always an honor to be invited by you, especially. My name is Frederick Gaunafatso Mamabola. I am a business productivity coach. I run a productivity and efficiency training firm. It's called the Activation Hub. So basically what we do, we get small businesses to do what they said they will do, the way they said they will do it, so that they can get the results they expected to get.
Okay.
So we basically started specializing in training and development. Then we migrated to coaching and offering technical support to small businesses and individual. The only thing special about us is the kind of people that we work with and the results we get thereafter. Mm-hmm. That's that.
Oh, is it? Okay. So, what's interesting thing? I guess maybe you wanted Mbali to hear when the introduction to say what he does. Oh, so maybe the wonder that he didn't want to say offline. He says, I'm just a guy, just a...
Yeah, he was very deceiving, very sneaky like
that. I'm a dude. Yeah. I'm a dude.
Yeah, no, and you'll get to hear him as we go. This man is very passionate. Let me take an opportunity to welcome young people as well that we having in studio, because I know definitely what we're talking about, it's something that is affecting you. My brother, do you want to say hi to our listeners, tell us who you are and what it is that you do?
Well, certainly. Thank you, Tebogo, for having me on air today. All right, my listeners, this is Thulani Makhanya, and I'm a production of TM Groups owned by Tebogo. Basically, I've studied business management, a higher certificate, and a diploma in marketing. The aspect is to build a brand and take it higher than it is today. So in the business aspect, we can see the economy is a bit crippled in the sense of how I'm understanding the fact.
Yeah.
So given the opportunity to given the opportunity to be the best at what I am, to grind, to prove myself, whilst the economy is still bashing at me, like Teboho giving me that opportunity, making opportunities like that, I mean, like it's a great pleasure to be in this platform. I mean, to strive not to concentrate on the circumstances that are here currently, but to strive for what is best.
Yeah,
and that's what this man is doing.
Yeah. So then, tell me just a quick one. Do you think our country is doing enough in terms of developing young people?
What can I say? All I can say is it starts with you as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. Our country is doing our best, but is our individuals doing their best? As our country is doing our best.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No.
Certainly, we need to say, like, it starts with you. It starts with you as an individual, and it starts with you. So, per person like you, gave me an opportunity. It's more grateful. It's more pleasing.
No, definitely. The young man had said it. That it actually starts with you. Let me take an opportunity to welcome another young man. You know, in the financial services sector. Maybe this man is young, he's shy, but let me tell you, he's good at what he does. Say hi to our listeners, tell us what it is that you do.
Okay, hi everyone, my name is Prince, I'm under TM Group by Teboho Mafodi, and I've studied Bachelor's of Accounting in the University of Johannesburg, and I've just graduated now on the 27th of March. I'm just here to learn, have excitement because I'm new into the industry. I'm just excited, like, because, like, there has been introducing us into many fields. So when you are a young boy growing up, trying to learn about the business as a whole, because the main objective is to have your own business. But in order to have your own business, you need to learn from the best. So I'm here to learn. I'm here to have excitement and thanks for the opportunity.
No, definitely. No, thanks a lot, my brother. We've got a lady who's in a male-dominated industry. You know, why couldn't you just sit in the kitchen, my sister?
I do sit in the kitchen.
Oh, okay. Tell us who you are.
Hi, listeners. My name is Zinke Chita. I'm from Tembisa. I'm doing civil engineering. Like he said, it's a man-dominated department. I am a TM Group. I've just started recently. Thanks to Mr. T for having me in. I'm experiencing a lot. It's related to what I was doing, which is construction. So I'm more than happy, more than excited to get that opportunity to experience whatever the lecturers was telling us. Yeah, so I'll be there on site doing everything I could do.
Okay. You are a young woman. She's not a young, she's a woman. So would you say corporate South Africa is doing enough to empower women though?
I could say yes, because she's there. She's there. Mm-hmm. She's the example.
But you don't know how she got there.
Yes, I don't know how she got there, but she's there. It shows that people, ladies are there, mm-hmm. are coming there, even though it's not yet 50-50,
mm-hmm.
but there are ladies who are pushing, and she's the example of
that. So there's hope that we're heading somewhere.
Yes, there's hope of 50-50 very soon.
Is it?
Yes.
No, definitely.
Thank
no.
you.
It's nice speaking to you. That was Zin Klitlita. I mean, I run a graduate placement program within my company. Right now, people that might not know my story, grew up very disadvantaged, and it took somebody seeing potential in me and deciding to invest in the potential, and I took that, transformed my life and made a name for myself. So right now, for me, I value the importance of developing other people. Because you'll be surprised, you know, the amount of difference that you could do in the community, taking young people, exposing them, you know, to life and to different things, you know, as per se. So now I want to hear from you two individuals that are in the space of development. Maybe let me start with you, Mbali. Do you think Corporate South Africa is doing enough, though, in terms of developing young people?
I certainly think that corporate South Africa can do more.
Okay.
And we need to do a lot more in developing young individuals, particularly in communities or in areas or spaces where young people would not necessarily have had the opportunity to gain access to compete within the market.
Okay.
So what you referred to around, and I love the description that the young gentleman gave at earlier on, to say that an individual also needs to be willing to take up the opportunity themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because if an opportunity is created and made available, but the individual on the other end is not receptive and doesn't take it up, mm-hmm. then it just remains but an opportunity that could have been realized and never did and never was realized.
Okay.
So I think the combination of the two, a willing recipient but also a willing body to create opportunities for young people to be exposed, to learn, to grow,
mm-hmm.
and to ultimately be able to participate in our economy is very, very important. And I think corporates need to do a lot more than what they're doing.
Mm. Okay. You work with corporates. She's sitting in corporate. Would you say, is corporate enough in terms of getting people like you to actually go out there and develop people? Or even, I know you specialize mainly in, I love how you put it. What's your specialty?
Well, it's productivity and efficiency.
Productivity and efficiency.
That's basically what
within the workplace.
Yes.
Yes. Are you getting enough business from corporate, or is corporate doing enough in terms of supporting you to actually come in and develop people within the organizations?
Remember, part of training is compliance to the mm-hmm. Skills Development Act, Skills Levies Act, and all those. So because it's compliance, the dilemma becomes for a business owner or for corporate South Africa. The dilemma is, do I develop this person in their direction or in my direction?
Mm.
And that is where the problem is. So whether enough mm-hmm. or not enough, it's a good question. But mm-hmm. again, enough in what direction? Because there are many young people, and I like what the lady said. She said she's in a program
mm-hmm.
and she's been capacitated and trained in the direction of mm-hmm. her desire.
Mm-hmm.
Many young people that are accounting graduates are in the field learning civil engineering. You understand? Because mm-hmm. that's what the firm wants. That's mm-hmm. what the firm is pushing, and that's what they want to develop. And because it's compliance, we need to comply. So you just get all these young people, especially lately, graduates are available everywhere. The CETAs have made them available with the stipend,
mm-hmm.
and it appears to corporate South Africa, free labor. Hello, let's take them in.
Mm-hmm.
And you then look inside and say, what are they going to do? There's nothing for them to do. Look, I have my own objectives. I'm going to take them and put them in line with my own objectives, and let's push that.
Mm.
So what my worry is enough patience is not applied in deciding what do I want as a corporate company, and who do I want, and what am I going to offer. Let there be that hand glove match so that there's results at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Because now the level of morale in corporates starts to go down, especially public companies, because now I'm here, but I'm not doing what I want to do. Remember, it's bad enough that I have studied what I didn't want to study. Now here I am. I'm now at the second level of being stabbed in the back. One, I studied what I didn't want to study. Now I said, okay, now I've studied this thing, so let me go into a company and now get a position on this thing. Then when I get there, I'm introduced to the third level of another thing. Now I'm doing what I don't want, studied what I don't want. I'm a guy that I don't want. I'm like a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that is not there.
Yeah, no, I actually like what you've just said. But how many young people though, or just people in general within your workspace, that you find that they are caught up in this race of that they studied what they don't want, and right now they caught up doing a job that they don't want, and that's why in a way they are unable to become effective, you know, in that workplace?
I think in terms of our organization specifically, I think a lot of the young people that we bring into the organization mm-hmm. have generally had a little bit more support before, if they were part of I'll talk about it from two perspectives. The one is, if they were coming out of a university, they would have probably had the opportunity to engage with career counseling services and guidance services, either at a school level or in the university that they are currently operating in, to at least, you know, begin to inform a little bit about what is that thing that energizes me, that makes me tick, what is an area of interest or a field of interest of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so generally when they come into the organization, they have a clear sense events more often than not. And I think that the direction in which they are wanting to take is aligned when they come into the organization. Mm-hmm. Having said that, though, where the guidance then becomes even more critical once they join the organization, linked to exposure, linked to mentorship, becomes, I don't know what I don't know. So I may feel or I may think that actually I am passionate about law until I come into an organization and I'm required to actually, you know, put that theoretical understanding or knowledge of what I thought law is into practice. Mm-hmm. And then I realize maybe law is not so much for me. Mm-hmm. And we've had many stories of people saying, you know, I wanted to go the medical route. Then I went and volunteered and did some service in a clinic and I saw blood and I fainted. And I was like, that is not the career path for me. So I think generally, you know, I think a lot of the grads that do come into our organization come with a general sense or inkling of what it is that they want to do ultimately in terms of their long career progression. And then the conversation becomes very different around.
Then it means you don't have a job, you are being paid for free. It means you don't have a job if they come already knowing what they want.
Oh, no, wait, I'm still getting
there. Okay.
Then the work for the organization becomes around how do we ensure that we create the right opportunities and because learning continues. It doesn't end when you've got your degree. It continues even on the job. So how do we create the right learning opportunities, continue to expose you in the right direction so that you can grow and develop? I made earlier reference to our bursary program that we offer to individuals who may not necessarily have had the opportunity to access funds, etc., or opportunity to be able to study through our CSI arm. And there, again, the strategy is no different. It's not just about paying for them to study whatever they want to study. It's about engaging them before you even begin to sponsor their studies around, is this the right career path for you? So the interview progress is exceptionally rigorous around really crystallizing what it is that the individual is wanting to study, linked to where they see themselves ultimately. And as they continue to study, they've got support in the form of work readiness programs, coaches, mentors that continue to guide them along the way. So I do agree that you will find yourself in a very difficult situation as an organization if you are very prescriptive around what people should be studying. But I think some of these things can be mitigated around how do we enable people to make the right decisions and the choices up front.
So now, I mean, in a question of maybe let me give you a scenario. Somebody has had alignment and they've gotten to work and everything. So for me, I think I never realized until 3 years back how much personal life can affect professional life. So, and now you find other people, they're generally good at what they do, but now they're failing to become effective because now their personal life is affecting their work life. You know, how do you help those individuals?
I think there's two parts to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think one part, which is what you alluded to at the beginning of the show, is around the significance of organizational development, and I'll link that very closely to the culture of an organization and the culture that an organization creates that enables their employees to flourish and to perform and to thrive, essentially. So I think there's two parts there, and one is around the environment in which leaders and an organization can create for people to be most effective and do the work that they need to do. And I think coupled with that, you know, there's a realization that people are not robots. We come with emotions. We come with circumstances. We come with everything. We can't leave that outside of the door when we clock in to come into the work environment, into the workspace. And any progressive organization needs to realize that you are not just hiring a person to fill a role. You're hiring an individual with all that they come with. And you need to create a culture of care, concern, support. And you can do that through various programs. A lot of companies have wellness programs, employee assistance programs, counseling services. And so I think it's about meeting a person where they're at in terms of their need. Mm-hmm. But it's not about saying, sorry, Mbali, it's not my fault that you're going through a divorce at the moment. Sort yourself out and leave it at the door. Come in and be productive because you're not going to be effective.
But with us, small business, that's what we'd say. Because we don't have the luxuries of having Mbalis coming in and saying, no, you need counseling and all of that.
I don't know. I don't know. I think you don't have it necessarily built in-house, but I think caring and showing concern for individuals is not something that is an organization thing. It's a human thing.
Mm.
And so I think too, and where organizations are concerned, you've got a Lifeline. Lifeline is an organization that is open to everybody within the country. You pick up a phone, on the other end of the line, you've got trained counselors who can assist and enable and guide. So it's around, you know, creating the space for a person at a particular point in time,
mm-hmm.
when they may need a little bit extra support, because also in a startup or in a small career, you're going to demand a lot from people,
mm.
and you want them to be at their best,
mm.
in order to get the most out of them.
Mm.
It's very critical. You can't have people who are half kind of there, half not, especially when you're trying to build the foundation of your business. So I think there are ways in which you can work around it, even if it's not part of an internal offering, mm. within your startup.
Okay. But you speak about there's other ways in terms of doing you know, things. Right now your focus is productivity. Right now, I know for a fact the reason I've brought us to have this conversation is because it's not only corporate South Africa that listens to the show. It's a lot of SMEs as well, and even other businesses within the continent. And as a small business, half of the time we don't have a budget to pay for people like you to come help with our productivity within the company. So what other ways are there in terms of, one, helping their employees develop to be good or best employees within a company?
Maybe let's take an approach where we look at a small business.
Mm.
You were talking about small business not having a budget to afford this kind of manpower.
Mm.
Look, small businesses don't thrive mainly because of product excellence. They don't even thrive because of business acumen, the intelligence of their systems and processes. The first thing that makes a small business to succeed is when the human capital, it's in synergy. So I'm running a small business. It's only the two of us. The systems and processes are in place, the finance systems, all the compliance are in place. Our finances are in place, and also our product is good. Everyone likes our product. But the two of us, the partners, we are over each other's head.
Mm.
That systems and processes and that good product that is thriving out there will go down to the drain.
Mm.
Because if you go out there and you look at good products that are in the hands of people who don't agree, you'll be shocked. You look at some people and say, oh, you've got a wonderful concept. You've got a wonderful system in place. Why don't you sell it? Selling takes a relationship. Mm. Relationship takes synergy. Synergy takes some kind of being cared for.
Okay, you need to repeat that. You need to. I think it's a good point. It takes. You think selling takes a relationship?
It takes a relationship, and a relationship takes synergy. So I need to. She needs to feel me. You know.
Mm.
Well, okay. You know. What
okay.
I mean.
No, you don't want Mbali to feel you. But it's like okay.
Maybe that's what she needs.
but that's a projection. It
has to be. It has to have that, be a prophet of some sort.
Mm.
Know what the customer is going to need.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I don't like a product from people who don't seem to care about me. Unfortunately, the bigger the company, the more we drift away from those things.
Mm.
Because now we are looking at, we have KPI to chase. Please stop crying now. Get back to your desk. Let's move. You get it? So the bigger the company, a bigger company can afford people who fight.
Mm-hmm.
A bigger company has that cushion that can really take the shock of two guys who don't agree. In fact, it is very.
I can tell you, as a small company, I can't afford that luxury.
It is very fashionable in bigger companies, especially listed. I worked for a listed company up here in Sandton when I started up. It looked like it was a fashion parlor. We all dressed to kill, and the salary was competitive, and therefore we were forever on each other's neck. Because I need your position. I need you out by hook or by crook. So, and the company could afford to take that, because when you're out, they can put another you in a second. So they could afford that. But the smaller the business, we can't afford that.
Mm.
So we would put our blood money on getting relationships right.
Mm.
You know, I spend my time talking to my staff other than spending time refining my systems. It's easy to do the systems. I can do them from my house and get, I can even hire hire another company to put the systems in place. But what if the whole team doesn't like me? And I know that it's not a popularity contest, but to some extent I'm small. And when I'm small, that popularity contest thing needs to be brought in. That's why she said something very critical about learners that come already ready. We realize that productivity in when we go into the corporate and start preaching productivity is already too late. So we started with high school readiness programs that says to a child coming out of primary to high school to say, this is not that. So please gear up for the following things that are going to happen in high school. And then we have those trained mentors that are going to look after them in high school. After high school, we have a tertiary readiness program, which says now you're going to a tertiary. What happened is you're going to attend one class over there and you have to walk and go to attend the other one over there. Just that change alone, they were used to having their lectures coming to them. Now you've got to go to a lecture room now, and those lecture rooms are different. You have to be moving around the whole day, and you might meet your ex's boy's neighbor right in the middle and have to engage. So now time management come to become critical. So we prepare them for tertiary. But now when they are in tertiary, we have to do work readiness programs to say, now this tertiary is over, you are now going into the workplace. Let's prepare you for the workplace. There are ethics, behaviors, processes, systems, people over there. There's a culture, a new one, once you get into corporate South Africa. This is what is required of you. Now, when they get into corporate South Africa, we say to them, now, there are three levels of productivity that you have to really be cautious of. One is productivity, sales, basically. The product needs to go. We need to sell. We need to sell, because the more we sell, the more money comes in and the more we can sustain the company. So we will talk to them about that, product excellence. And then we go to the next level of business productivity. Basically, there are rules, there are policies, there are procedures that you need to follow. The more you follow that, the more the business do well, because now we don't want to spend time in hearings. We don't want to spend time and money in CCMAs and so on. So at the business process level, we need you to be very productive. So this is how you do it. And then the last level that we look at is at a interpersonal level, your level. We need productivity at that level. You asked a question, or one of you asked a question about, you gave an example about somebody is going through the divorce, and somebody says, look, put your divorce at the door, come in, let's move, we're busy up in here. So productivity starts at that level as well, from an individual level. Unfortunately, companies don't have the time, nor the mandate to look after your personal life. They can only do this much. You need to go home and really work. And that's why a personal coach is something that is very important if you're going to try and be a success in corporate South Africa. But just the long and the short of it is preparation helps, because proper planning prevents poor performance.
Okay, what do I say after that, Mbel?
You applaud.
Oh, okay. You know, this is the point where I wish we had this jingle, like you've made mention of quite a number of, I think, insightful and critical parts that I think that are key, and I think we tend to overlook a small business. You know, and that are key. That's why right now, one thing I've always say, as a small business, our intention from day one is to make money. And right now, we forget that we need to implement a strategy. We need to look after the individuals that we have, you know. We need to actually put time in planning, you know. You know, the as to where we're going, what is it that you want to do. And as well, planning for the individuals that you bring in as to how can they grow within the company, because it's them growing, being better people, that they're able to become effective and productive within the company that you have. So now, I mean, one of the things that I think it's a challenge, though, it's a question of I don't know, maybe I want to answer you from I appreciate an answer from both of you, to say it looks like, you know, okay, let me make an example, an analogy of this. Have you realized how fast food or junk food is the cheapest compared to healthy food? You know, no, don't worry, I'm not saying you've got a tummy, so I see you already. So when one's deciding to say, I want to start eating healthy, or I want to start following a certain diet and this and that, the budget starts going skyrocket. So right now, in this instance, it's cheaper for businesses to just go and, you know, chase money and everything else they'll see in front, you know, because now the minute they start sitting and say, no, I want to look at wellness, you know, I want to look at development, I want to look at whatever, then the bill starts going skyrocket. So, I mean, right now, besides, I know Lifeline, it's more assisting with personal well-beings and this and that, you know. So right now, for me, I think our country's got provision for more personal well-beings than professional well-beings. So at the end of the day, tomorrow we need people or young individuals that are going to be changing the workplace, that are going to be changing the marketplace. And right now we've got a generation of old people that don't want to be doing handover. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I was even shocked with the reshuffle that the president did. And all of a sudden it has become about, no, I want to bring in young people. And for the longest time, young people were complaining to say they're not using us. And right now they're coming out, and there's be a young people that will be coming in that can't think, that can't do a whole lot of things. And that's why I love the organization you work for, because it's young people doing amazing stuff, you know. So to say, for me, is it a culture thing? Is it a timing thing? Or is it a mindset thing? And is it something that can change through time? Or is it something that we must just forget in this generation and see the next second or third generation?
You've said a lot. So I'm trying to weave out and see exactly which parts to start with.
Okay.
And I'm a little bit lingering on where we ended off with the last question around, if you don't have the muscle, if you don't have the pocket to establish and build your own internal capabilities that can enable you to build the relationships that you need to build and to be more strategic in your startup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really maybe a bit of a practical point is to say that what I loved about the example you gave about relationships and how critical relationships are for synergy, relationships are also critical for alignment. And I think if as an organization, if you have two partners in a business and you aren't aligned around purpose, what is it that we are trying to achieve really? Why do we exist as an entity?
Mm.
What need do we see out there in the market that we are trying to fulfill? If we aren't aligned at a purpose level, we aren't aligned around philosophies and beliefs, because I hold assumptions around certain things and you hold assumptions around certain things. If we can't align, then it doesn't matter what product we end up developing. It will probably never see light of day. It will probably never go to market. And we probably won't even be able to remain afloat for a very long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people tend to, at times, particularly in the smaller stages of the business, could potentially, because of the pressure that you're referring to around pressure to bring in money, because I need to survive, I need to be able to keep my expenses, whatever expenses that I have afloat, can neglect the significance of taking that time out to, as partners, really have critical dialogue around purpose, linked to strategy, linked to what we're trying to achieve really.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those points that are really most critical. So I think the long and short of it is that I think each entrepreneur needs to have a thinking partner. I think thinking partners are very, very important. I think what coaches provide is exactly that, a thinking partner. What organizational development consultants in a bigger corporate space provide is a space in which you can explore your thinking. You can really flesh out and interrogate.
But you guys come at the cost. You guys are not cheap.
So that's what I'm saying to you, that I don't think that you necessarily always need to have a practitioner. I'm saying there's benefit and there's value and there's merit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely another lens that comes with it. But as a start, I think don't underestimate just how much you hold and know in and of yourself as an entrepreneur.
Okay.
You got to where you got to, not by chance or by fluke. And I think if you partner and find advisors in a network that you can create for yourself, a diversified network of individuals you can tap into, and
you're part of my network, so does it mean I can tap into you?
You can certainly tap into me. You're tapping into me now. And you know what? We've expanded your network to your listeners,
okay,
who are now, you know, having an opportunity to tap into other individuals. So I think don't underestimate that just in being in conversation, being in relationship, and the impact they can have on an organization at whichever level. It's just as important for big organizations to engage in dialogue and to align constantly, because big organizations can fall and have fallen. And I think you can't underestimate the significance of creating the space, the time, and really being able to think and align, because and create the culture that you want to sustain your business.
Mm. On the issue of handover, or we've got all people that don't want to hand over, man.
Well, I think
young people are just shooting. Human rights will follow us late.
Well, for me, handovers, they are hand in hand with readiness. And readiness is subject to whoever is assessing that readiness. And I carry the same sentiment with all other brands, is that I won't buy from you because you are my friend. I'll buy from you because what you're offering is in line with my needs.
Oh, I don't that know. Explains why you've not bought from me.
You're
supposed to be my friend.
Because when I bought from you, I need to be able to advocate for the decision clearly, not on the basis. They are not your friends. So when I sell to them, I need not say, go buy, he's my friend. I need to say, go buy, there is value. Because value is value regardless of who and where and when. But friendship is only limited at an arm's length. Mm. So I don't hand over to no young people if they are not ready. I don't want to be handed over to if I'm not ready. Mm. I don't encourage anyone to hand over to nobody if that person is not ready. Mm. And again, he said something very wonderful that, look, readiness is your personal responsibility. Wake up in the morning and say, I want that. I'm going to be prepared for it. And there's one thing about opportunities is that opportunities, they seem to be attracted to the ones that are ready. So I know the argument that can, the counter argument might be, yeah, but we have been ready. Why is the opportunities not come to us? Usually the people who are ready, they never sing a song of I'm ready. Mm. They just go out there and work and do what they have to work. I've seen people who protest like that. They ended up leaving companies because they get into a company and other people are promoted and he's not. Mm. And he sits there and sing and create a lot of conflict within the organization. But a truly ready person grows, and he says, I don't think I should be here. I think I should step out and go somewhere. Look at you now. You probably stepped out from somewhere for you to be where you are. Mm. You know, even you to be at that company where you are, where they are stepping you up, you stepped out to step up. So never, ever, ever, ever focus that your growth comes from this particular place. Mm. Your growth can come from anywhere else. I said to my young people yesterday, I said, look, all in our black communities, whenever there is an event, we always pitch a tent.
Yeah.
There's a principle of a tent I like, is that a tent, smaller tents usually will have two pillars in the center and a couple of pillars, more than four around them. Now, the question I ask is, which of those strings of the tent is stronger? Hmm. Which one must I cut first to bring the tent down? Okay, if that is difficult, how many must I cut down? Less than 50%. How many must I cut down to bring the tent down? Somebody will say it will depend on the wind, the strength of the tent, and so on and so on. So the principle there is give equal respect to all the strings of the tent because you don't know which one is holding it together. Mm. So when you nail them down, do it with all efforts. And to bring the tent down gracefully and successfully, you need to cut all of them so that the tent can come down. And some men will just strengthen two cables because they feel is their area of their strength. Mm. Some will just focus on one because it's an area of a strength. If you have five areas in your life and you are very excellent, I'm talking cum laude, on two of them, you are weak. So strength is if you are 50% in 10 areas of your life, you are stronger than a guy who is 100% in five areas of his life. You see, I rather have the wheels of my car instead of them being on 250 kp. I would rather have them on 100, all of them, than to have all of them on the one side on 250 and the other one too flat. The car won't move. In fact, I would rather have all wheels half flat than to have one wheel out. So balance is what brings the whole logic together. And that's what true relationships are. They are a balance. If you grow more than I do and we are in a relationship of growth, we have a problem. Why are you growing faster than I am? Something is wrong with me, or something is wrong with you, or something is wrong with us. Mm-hmm. So smaller companies, they have a disease, and this is their disease, is that they get to a level where they put product growth. at the expense of individual growth. And then the product will grow, skyrocket, and then there is no men and women to hold it together to stay where it is. That's why your bigger companies, your Coca-Cola's of this world, and many, many other companies that have stayed over the challenges of decades, their secret is not usually in the product. Come on, I know many drinks that are better than Coke, but there's a secret that they do. They look after their people with a certain caution. They have this level of consistency in how they look after the internal and the external stakeholders, and even the stakeholders that are not yet here. The question is, what you do today, how would it affect you tomorrow? You said a wonderful thing, Brati. You said that it's cheaper to eat junk food right now as opposed to eating good food. Mm. It looks like it's cheaper for organizations to do as they please as opposed to doing the right thing. You know, the absence of a coach like me in your organization will rely in you having to hire a lawyer and have to deal with legal issues. You have to choose which costs you want to pay. Do you want to pay my costs or you want to pay those other costs? So you choose. You'd rather pay my costs or you have to have your costs going up because of leave abuse, because now they don't like coming to work now and they take leaves like it's going out of fashion. So you choose. Do you want to have a payroll and staff turnover going up? You got to pay the bill either way. So, but prevention is better than cure, and I'm your prevention. So you get me in, I save you all of all this stuff that you do. Just change the tires and get a new tire, me, and then you don't get stuck going to your wedding with the bride and the groom burning up. So for me, in a short space of time, doing as you please will please you.
But you cannot not respond to that.
But in a long term, you're gonna pay a price. They say if you play instead of pray, you will pay with pain.
Buddy,
I love the analogies and the examples. I think they bring color to the dialogue. I'm in agreement. I think if you don't invest time, and I think what you're saying is I do believe it comes down to what is the culture that you're trying mm-hmm. to create within your organization, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. what the value you bring mm-hmm. Coming into an organization, helping them iron out some of these. You know, at the beginning of the show, you said, you know, if you and I are in a partnership and I am just on your last nerve, I'm mm-hmm. like, we cannot see eye to eye, we will run into a lot of trouble. We'll run into a lot of problems. Firstly, we will not make sales. We will not agree on even which market should we niche ourselves. We won't even be able to align around how do we develop people in our organization. We won't be able to align around what is strategy and growth and good look like for us. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a lot of issues that will then come up, which result in things like legal fees, if it comes to that, or inefficiencies that could have been dealt with had we created the right type of culture within the organization. So 100%, I agree. I think it's a function that's critical, so much so that in our organization, that function is an in-house function. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. We've seen the value so much of having individuals who are proficient and can run process for the organization, so that we make sure that we are aligned continually, because we can see the direct impact at a very commercial and real level on our business lines if there are internal people issues that don't mm-hmm. serve us.
Yeah. I mean, Mabobolo, you made mention of something very critical in terms of if we're in a relationship and I grow faster than the other person. I know I've said to one of my friends the other day, I was saying, I'm worried that you're growing and you're growing at the so much pace and you're comfortable with your partner just being home, not growing and this and that. And I said to the person that my worry is that tomorrow you'll be coming home, you're unable to conversate transactions with this person because it's jargon to her, or it's something that she's got no clue on about. And when right now you end up having people that fascinate you out there because you're able to have conversations with them, you know. So I mean, do you say now development it needs to extend from professionally now to personal as well?
Nature has taught us development, and it has given us the tools of development for free. We ignored them over and over again. Nature continued to try and teach us, grow together. Imagine if your right hand grows longer than your left hand, there's a problem. If your eye on one side, the other one grows bigger than the other, there is a problem. If one ear grows the other one bigger than the other, there is a problem. Somehow, things that are together are expected to grow together. Why am I together with you if we're not going to grow together? For me personally, whether I'm in a business relationship or otherwise, as long as it's a relationship, my first priority of the relationship is not the reason why we're in a relationship, is you. You are my first point of interest in a relationship, besides what we are in the relationship for. That's why when I choose you, I don't choose you looking at the product. I choose you looking at you. Would you be a structural engineer once said to me, look, Fred, before you put together a building, you put together a structure, you know, those steel structures that they put. But the question the structural engineer should ask is, would this structure withstand the weight that is going to be put on it? Would it be able to withstand the number of people that we want to reside in the structure? So the bigger question for me, the bigger thing for me would be, I should not bring anyone into a relationship with me if I'm not willing to grow them. And they should not bring me in if they are not willing to grow me, especially as it relates to the purpose for which every relationship will last for as long as the purpose for which it was formed exists. For as soon as that purpose is finished, people just grow apart. And sometimes the reason I can't grow you is because the reason why we got together in the first place has been depleted. But as long as the mandate is still on course, we need to really work together. So development, yes, I agree with you. Development has its root in our personal life. It has its stems in what we do, either our professionalism or our social practices. But it has its fruits in those who come after us. They are the ones who enjoy the fruits, though the roots are deep down in what we do when the lights are off, the mic is off, and we're laying down in our own homes. What happens there tells us the culture. You spoke about culture. Culture is the most important thing, because in a bad culture, even an evil man, even a good man's good deeds are not recognized. So somehow we need a good man, but we don't create a good environment. So a good man in a bad environment becomes a bad man. And we then want to bring horrible people, and we say they must come in a good environment and make it thrive. The environment is the king. The environment is the king. It must be protected. It must be grown, because it is the custodian of the culture. So it's a pity for smaller businesses. Environments becomes the business owner. You are the environment. What you say is it's policy. If you say X, X becomes a policy. But in a bigger company, like I said, there is a great buffer. You know, it can take the beating. And you can even hear somebody says, look, I can reshuffle whoever I want, I can remove whoever I want and put whoever I want. They have that muscle. They can afford. But at a smaller scale, we can't.
Do you agree that we should grow together?
In what sense?
In a relationship.
You've got to be very specific.
In a relationship.
We should grow together. No, you but- and I? I'm joking. I do believe so. I think and what the growth will not necessarily
closer.
The growth will not necessarily always look the same. I shouldn't expect that you will look and be exactly like how I am. But I think the growth does need to be complementary. And I think where then the right arm begins to, because even when you look at the right and the left arm, the fingers are not positioned in the same place. Because otherwise, again, it's not going to be complementary, and you won't be able to, you know, to
this complementary, it's a problem, because that's why now you end up looking for a person that ticks the boxes than the person that you meant to be with.
I think if you look for the person that ticks the boxes that are your boxes, that i.e. to look like you, you know, I think that could be slightly problematic. But I think you will know there's the synergy that will that will be in existence when you are in a complementary relationship, be it a business relationship or whichever form. So I think that is very significant to ensure that you are growing. And I think you as an individual should aim to take people along the journey with you. So I think where you become very selfish about about your own development at the expense of others, I think that is problematic. And I think you need to do a little bit of questioning for yourself there to say that actually, if I'm going to grow, I'm going to ensure that whoever is around me is also going to grow. I think I'm fortunate enough to have people in my life who do exactly that for me. My partner pushes me all the time. He's always saying, you know, okay, fine, great, we're here. We're building towards this, and how can we continue to do so? But recognizing and realizing that I come with my own strengths. I come with my own parts that make up who I am. And so does he. And I think provided they're complementary, we'll move forward. If I may, just to pick up the piece around the culture and the onus on you as a business, as maybe the founder and the leader, I think it's exceptionally onerous. And I think I don't want to underestimate the complexity and the difficulty that an entrepreneur has to hold around managing revenue lines, around ensuring that they're partnering and they're bringing in the right people, and then still being responsible for the environment that they create and the culture they create. It's exceptionally onerous, but I think it's such a prime opportunity that you have to really build something that can enable individuals for generations to come. You speak about the fruits of individuals who are going to eat. So I think it's a prime position, but I think it is exceptionally difficult, and I commend individuals who venture in that route, because it's something that shouldn't be underestimated, the significance.
No, definitely. No, it is definitely an insightful discussion. I think if ever you've just joined in, you've missed out on an interesting show, but you can go to www.cliffcentral.com and go to podcast, or you can even download the Cliff Central app on your phone to actually catch the podcast. Let me take this opportunity to actually thank my guest today. Just quickly, for people that want to follow you on social media, you are?
Frederick Anna Fazumamabolo on Facebook and F Mamabolo on Instagram. I'm not on Twitter. It's too short to type, and I talk about
Okay, Mbali?
I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm Mbali Maseko.
Oh, okay. Yes. You're not on any social media?
I am on other social medias, but those are very personal.
Oh, okay.
So I think
it's fine.
It's healthy segmentation, I call it. Yes.
Oh, okay. No, definitely. And this is all that we had for you today, right here on 360 Biz. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Debo Homafodi. Unfortunately, Bulelan is not here, and I'm out.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.